Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what's up? It's Jamali Maddox here with the podcast. You already knew that if you were listening. It's a weird one, this one, because it's my last one of this season. I've had fun doing it. I really have. I spoke to some great people and kind of see a different side to them. And I hope you got to see that as well. I know this is starting off a bit somber. I think I'm just exhausted. I had to go to the embassy and sort out some visa stuff. And, you know, I've been a bit tired recently, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy, actually. I'm in a good mood because I'm telling myself I'm in a good mood. I think sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to let yourself know you're actually in a good mood. Say, hey, you know what, man? Life's going good today. It's raining outside, so that's the only downfall, but fuck it. Life's all right. So in this episode, I have Mo the Comedian on. And if you don't know Mo, where you've been, Mo's literally, you know, probably one of the... Is it fair to say one of the biggest comedians right now, really? I mean, probably not the biggest in terms of, like, you know, Michael Mack, but he's big right now. He's huge. He was doing stand-up before, and then some stuff hit on the sort of viral videos, kind of hit like a couple of cans and all of that, and it just went stratospheric from there. He co-hosts a Big Nasty Show. He's got his own show coming out. Yeah, I think the first time I gigged with him was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, and he was a cool dude then and he's a cool dude now, and I really had fun really talking to him, actually. And he's always a fun guy, always a nice guy to chat to. So this is The Breakdown with a Hook. My name's Jamali Maddox, and this is Mo the Comedian.
Jamali.
I try and think about it every time I get a guest on, I go, when did we meet? When was that?
I think you...
Did we meet? Could we not? I swear I met you a few years ago.
Yeah, it was a good few years ago.
I swear I met you...
Yeah.
From what I remember, it might have been before that, is I think I met you, I did your gig.
Yeah.
In Up the Creek.
But I think I met you before that, though.
Yeah, we might have floated around.
Yeah, I think I met you at a gig before that.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have just asked you to do the gig.
No, you didn't like
to see
a clip of something, I guess, no?
Yeah.
I guess maybe...
Because I remember Kate was just like, oh, no, you got to check out Jamali. Like, he's proper sick and stuff. But I think it might have just been like one night at the Creek or something.
Maybe at the Creek or maybe a Comedy Cafe.
One of those ones.
Well, you used to do the Comedy Cafe, innit?
Yeah.
On that Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I missed that Wednesday.
Yeah. That was good, man.
That was
like
a good Wednesday.
Mess around and do some stuff.
Oh, mate, we used to fuck around. And there were some big hits that come through there.
Oh, no, of course. It was that one. It was like the last, like. And I think because what was cool about it was just like kind of run by comedians as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was like.
It was definitely Lord
like,
of the Flies.
You just say to like Jimmy, like yeah. Can I get a five? Like,
no, you want to hit some cold shit? This is cold, yeah. I don't feel like admitting it. But I remember times where you'd go down there and you'd say, Jimmy, yo, Jimmy, can I jump on? Jimmy'd be like, yeah, I'll put you on bang 10.
Yeah.
And then there'll be some motherfucker that came from Bristol. All the way down to the gig
to do five minutes.
They're like, yeah, you ain't even jumping on tonight. And you thought, you were like, oh, yeah, I didn't even know. Cold shit. My friend came from Norwich one time to do 5 minutes. And it was just like, yeah, you ain't going up. Sorry.
Yeah,
but
no,
it was calf days.
It was one of those ones where, like, if you're in the air, because it's like Shoreditch as well, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's
so
around.
More likely you might be in the area for something.
Yeah, everyone's
to be like,
around.
Oh, let's just go check it out.
Yeah,
and
you,
like, more time, I remember going there and just being like, oh, like, it's like passing through, just to see what's going on. And Jim said, do you want to get on? And I was like, all right, cool.
Why not?
Just mess around. You got a crowd there and stuff, and it's a shame there's not a lot of those places. But you can understand now, like comedy is like, it's that kind of like.
Why do you think there isn't them places? Because I've been trying to think why there isn't a place like that. I think that place there. Because different people out there, we're talking about a comedy club that was in Shoreditch on Riven Street, so it was prime location.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a weekend club, but the Wednesday was the open mic, new material.
Yeah.
And it used to be like me, you were there, Jimmy James Jones was there, Kay Curd would rock up.
Mm.
You'd have Dane went down sometimes, Dane Baptiste was there. There's a bunch of
yeah.
comedians would go down there. and we would just hang out there a lot of the time. I remember sometimes I just go there just to hang out and shit. And it kind of went away. The club closed down. But there's not that many clubs out there now where it is just dropping. It's all like booking in 12 weeks in advance. And
yeah, I think that's the thing, because that
got
club...
Top secret, but...
Do you know what it was? Is the club is because it was like run by comedians, so that's why it worked.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it wasn't just do you know what I mean? Like, and it was one of those nights like everyone used to be like, oh, cool, Wednesday, I'm in short. I know you know it's on, just gonna pass through to just chill out and stuff like that. But I guess now it's harder because you don't have a lot of clubs run by comedians as such.
No, and it's not that many purpose built either.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, a lot of it is, I say corporate, and I don't mean corporate even in a bad way, but it's just more professionally run.
Yeah, because when I hear about the States and they talk about the Cellar and they're like, oh yeah, Dave Chappelle came and, you know, you don't get that at Top Secret.
No, Top Secret's the one club it might happen, because they got Gerard Carmichael popped in.
Oh yeah, they've had their fair people just
but
pop in.
But it's not like
it's if you went tonight... Yeah. You're just going to see Jimmy Carr. You wouldn't see that.
Oh, fuck no.
Do you know what I mean? He's going to be there doing a work
you'll
in progress.
You'll see me.
And it's a nap. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. You'll be disappointed. I remember the other day I went, Mark goes, Mark's this erratic guy who runs. I love Mark.
Top secret.
He's erratic as fuck. And he goes, can I big you up before you come on? Well, you're an MC. That's what you're meant to do. And it goes on, so I was listing my credits and you can see people looking at each other like, who the fuck is this?
That doesn't work over here,
And I walked on stage and I was like, look, I'm sorry. Even I got disappointed that when I walked on stage. It's just like people don't give a fuck about credits, man. Nah, really.
People don't really care. And I think it's weird because I think in the UK, like especially like whereby I'd kind of like my route kind of started more kind of through like the black comedy circuit as such, where that was a thing. So
it was a big thing because that's, you know, and this is what I think is what I wanted to get into it with you, especially about the sort of black comedy circuit stuff, is because I was always aware, I kind of jumped in, I'd done a little bits and pieces of it.
And I
always knew the comics there. Like I knew Ori Styler, I knew Fumbi kind of done both. But I knew that Ori, and I knew the Kane Brown, guys. Like I knew them, but I never really worked that circuit. I remember the last one I did, was I did one for, who's that guy in Birmingham? Used to be Tinky Wink in the Teletubbies. Remember John Simmet.
I remember I did John Simmet's gig.
Boy, about I got kicked off stage after 3 minutes.
Swear.
I had to walk off stage. Fam. Bro, when I tell you, so John's bringing me on. John goes, so it's this guy's first time in Birmingham. One guy shouted out at the back, we're going to fucking kill him. Right? And John's goes, no, let's be nice, guys. Come on. Bring him on stage. Jamali Maddox. I had about 2 minutes, man. And then you start hearing the murmurs. The murmurs. I was like, you know, I ain't going down this.
Yeah.
And I fucking walked off stage.
Yeah. Now John Simmons gets a very like a mature crowd though.
Yeah.
So he's not got one of them crowds that are quite young. He's got that kind of like proper old school Jamaican West Indian mums and that.
And it was at the Caribbean Center in the hood.
That place was the hood. Yeah.
That place wasn't no joke, brother, either. Yeah. Like, you get into the... I remember I got out of the cab and the man gave me his number, said, listen, bail me and I'll come grab you from here.
Yeah, like, I've done one of these gigs. I didn't really do one in the early gigs. I think I'd done it a little bit later on. So maybe I think it was like 2016, the first gig I actually done for him.
I've done that maybe 2015, 2014.
Yeah.
I just done...
Because I'll be honest, I used to holler at a lot of these people, you know, asking for gigs. Didn't get no gigs.
Really?
Hollered at John Simmet, didn't get nothing. I asked him twice.
Fuck.
This is like when I was first starting out and I was on the circuit.
Because I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm watching, because I'm looking at it from a backseated thing, so I'm observing it more.
Yeah.
I had remember, because I've known of you before I met you, through word of mouth, people saying, hey, do you know Mo and all that? I think Kay must have told me about you. Hey, do you know Mo and that? And I remember seeing your videos on YouTube.
Okay.
And I swear you had done an hour. Did you do like an hour thing back in the day?
I'd done something at so when Sunday Show was on.
Yeah.
It was on every Sunday.
Yeah.
I like loads of people said, oh, you should do like a one man show kind of thing. And I was like,
how did you get numbers for a one man show?
Do you know what it was?
Did you have like credits then?
I didn't really have a fan base, but like through that gig it was just like a lot of like friends that came, people that would come to the show. And I remember I really hustled with the tickets. Like I printed them off myself.
Fuck, how many
tickets
did you sell?
I think were like £5.
Oh shit.
But I really like hustled in it. Yeah, so like every gig I was at, I'd have these, even like little small gigs, I'd have these like uni shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got my little one man show coming. If you guys wanna come down, I got tickets on me, £5. Proper like it reminded me of like Because I had friends that would do music and stuff, and they'd really like hustle. So
that was the mixtape in Leicester Square.
Yeah, so you get your mixtapes, you do your gig. Yeah, everyone wants mixtapes. So I kind of done that with the same thing with tickets, and it's weird because it was a one man show, but it wasn't. It was just me, just like having loads of material and just trying some stuff out. Do you know what I mean?
How many tickets did you sell with that?
I think there must have been like 300 people.
That is mad. See, that's yeah, like mad. Yeah, yeah. That you sold 300 tickets.
Yeah, and that was that was me really like giving, you know, like trying to get like my mum's friends to come, sisters, anyone who wanted to come. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I even like remember doing it. I even done it like a proper, like I had some friends record it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. I remember I saw the video.
Yeah, I remember
the video, seeing this dude doing an hour, and this is way before I even met you. And I was like,
ages, bro.
I was like, who the fuck is? And you're doing an hour, and I didn't know because I was like,
do you know how long I've done material? The first half was 45 minutes. We had an interval.
You've done 45 on the top.
I swear to you.
Of just consistent
mum's
bits.
Life, I've done 45 minutes of material. Then we had a break.
Yeah.
I've done an hour and 10 minutes of material.
And were people cool with that?
In the second half. People just cracking up.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just me
so
in the whole half. So there wasn't like a warm up or anything like that. I just came out. Because I didn't know how to do it. I just watched the DVD of like, oh, let's Chris Rock. That's how I do it.
If Chris Rock can do that, like, I can do that.
And I'll never forget, the first half was 45 minutes and everyone was like, oh, what, is that it? And I'm like, nah, there's another half. Done another half.
I guess they weren't even really a comedy crowd.
Not really.
I mean,
it was
some of the people that you got from the uni shows, but I guess it wasn't, if you're dragging people in.
Yeah, so a lot of people were coming to a show and not really ever seeing a, you know, I had that old school friends that came because everyone, it was around that time I was doing stand-up and people said, oh, I've heard Mo's doing stand-up, I'm going to check it out and stuff. You know,
there's always that time, isn't it? When you start doing stuff, and it's the ones where they go like, "Why didn't you tell me?" And you go, "Motherfucker, why do you think I'm booking the gig? Why do you think I'm going to be the first?" Like, yo, I need to call Sean up.
I think the funniest ones is the people that pop up, and you're like, "There's like your friends from school, you remember?"
Yeah, but then
there's these other people who's like, I don't really remember you, you know?
If they were in the movie, they would be the guy holding the shield on the corner. Like you kind of remember and you go, but you was definitely not a main part of the film of my life.
Yeah.
That is a weird,
like if it was a war movie,
you'd be like
one of them guys who are like, you know, like passing me the missiles to load into the team. Like them guys are like, oh, I was in the army. Bro, you just helped carry the cannons or something, man.
And now they're hitting you off for comps and shit now.
Not so much comps. I've got some like, it's weird. Like some old friends are just like, oh, can I get tickets? And some people, I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, you got to hold them down.
But some people were like, it's not even a rude one, but it's like some people I just don't really remember them.
Mm.
Or they wasn't really in my year.
Yeah.
People in my year, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember you was in my year. Yeah. But I had people who were like 4 years below me. I'm like, bro, like, I was in year 11 in that. Like,
You weren't really, there was like, no crossover.
Yeah, so it's like, yo, man, remember you went to my school, right? And I'm like, no, you went to my school.
Yeah.
Because you was in year 8.
Like, I guess it is that thing though, isn't it? That like when you go on to do something and you got to let me know, you know, when you go on to do something, is there sort of a thing of there's like an attraction to that? And people just sort of want to like, yeah, fuck, because there's always that, you know, like I've told this story before on the podcast, but like there's this boxer called Colin McMillan. Mm. And I think my dad must have spoken to him once and that was his mate now.
Yeah.
And every time he goes, oh, you know, oh, Colin, I go, you met him, what, do you know what I'm saying though? Yeah. It's because people want to feel like they go, oh, you know, you ever seen a new Mo's comedian? But he went to my school.
Yeah.
Would you cool? Yeah, you know, you know what I'm saying?
There is that kind of like, I guess there's that kind of like proud thing you have.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I went to my school. And because I remember like when I was in school, Asher D went to our school from So Solid.
So that
was the things that, Asher D used to go to our school. Like, bearing in mind, was never in school at the same point.
But it was
just that thing to say as like, like, it's that clout thing that people do. You know what I mean?
I guess it's that some type of template to be like, this was the, you know, they went to the same place I went to.
Yeah, the thing is, if I meet people and people are like, oh, you know my friend such and such, and I won't mug them off, but if I don't know them, I'll be like, oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But if it's someone, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know my man.
Yeah.
Like, you might know me, my best friend.
Yeah, but you know
but
him.
I know someone saying, oh, you know my cousin, right? And I'm like, it's your cousin. Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, cool guy, man.
Yeah, because then when he goes home, it's like, yo, we know Mo actually knows you. Like, I told you, but I know Mo.
We had some people at the tour show like that, though.
What?
Some people come to the show because we do a meet and greet, and it's like people who are might have like grew up with, and I'm like, oh, I remember you, but didn't really hang around with you kind of thing. But they've come to the show with like their woman
and
stuff.
That's nice though.
And he's like, oh yeah, man. And then like this one guy, and then his missus was like, oh, he said he used to hang around with you, but I didn't believe him. But you can tell he looked proper like, thanks, man.
This is there sweating, holding his glass of Henny, taking long sips.
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
Jamali.
One thing I heard is, I don't know if this is true, but when you did your show at, when you done the show at Up the Creek, all the Hennessy sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. The funniest thing is,
I don't know why I found that funny. Yeah. It's like, you know when Mo Daddy's show, all the Hennessy sold out. I heard there was no more Henny in the house,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. That, I remember that show was, I'm not sure if that was the tour shot Up the Creek we done. Because what we done when we done the first batch of tour dates, we done one in North London, one in South London, and one in West London. We was going to do East, but we couldn't get the location we wanted to do. We was going to do it, I think, in Rich Mix, that kind of cinema
space.
Wanted to do it there, just didn't get the space. And so when we done the one in South, it was proper like, you had proper like old school roadman coming out and stuff. No, I don't really go out Central Leg. I'll go Greenwich.
I want to stay in the ends a bit.
Because Greenwich is almost like known as that kind of like, I don't know, for me growing up, it always seems like neutral territory.
No one claimed it. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, you, how old are you?
So I'm 30.
30. Yeah, so you're around my age. That was like postcode era. That was like postcode wars.
Postcode.
When that shit really mattered.
So funny, man, because I remember like, I grew up in Camberwell.
Okay.
So like, Peckham was known as Peckham, innit?
Yeah.
Peckham. So
it was
my
numb.
Dad used to live in Brixton. So I'd go to my dad's on weekends. So like some of the boys ran the estate and my dad's, they'd be like, so where are you from? Like, so I'm like, from Camberwell. Are you from Peckham? And I'm like, no, from Camberwell. But it is that association thing.
Yeah, because it was real back then.
So, definitely, man. Definitely. I used to even like when I used to go to my mate's house when I lived in Camberwell and he lived in Peckham, I'd use his address this in case, because some guys are smart. They'd be like, where are you from, Peckham? And I'd be like, what do you mean? Is that, what road do you live on? So I was like, I live on Friary Road. That's where my mate used to live, innit?
Yeah.
So what number? Number 13. Okay.
All right. There's a number 13 on that street.
Because I know, like, there's only odd numbers on that street, so. Only goes up in odd numbers. I see what you done there. So, yeah. Now, I remember getting my bike nicked in Peckham as well. Guy like.
Yeah, but Peckham's the place where you'd get your bike nicked.
But you know what it was? It's like, the misconception is like, when that was when I used to live in Campbell and
I'm from East, so when you hear
about Peckham, it was like, whoa. Yeah. But then we moved to Peckham. Like, my mum and dad moved to Peckham. Yeah, because we were overcrowded in our last house. So when we moved, my mum got an offer from the council, so we got a place in Peckham. And I remember like all my friends like around my area, because I lived in like Camberwell, like, which was like right next to East Dulwich, that kind of area. So all my friends was like, oh bruv, be careful in Peckham, all these rumours and stuff, innit, bruv, I heard they just take your trainers, like, and then you won't take your suits and
like
all that.
It's Feltham.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, like. And then I remember like because what I used to do is hang around with the guys, then I'd walk home to Peckham, and it wasn't like, it was only like a 15 minute walk.
Yeah, when you live somewhere, there is a certain reality to it.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
all the guys used to do that whole like, I'm like, you lot, I'm gone. He's like, oh, get home safe, man. Get home safe.
So I'll give you the press.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck. And then I moved there and it wasn't that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it was that kind of misconception. But don't get me wrong, you would hear about things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might hear about something happening down that road or whatnot. Yeah. But I never seen it or experienced it.
Well, I think it's like anything. So when you grow up in a certain area, you kind of realise that if you're not involved in it, you learn to mind your business.
That's it.
And it's not your business. I'm not out here. I'm not out here banging. I'm not repping the ends.
That's the thing.
You just you know you're doing your own thing. You don't really. Yeah. So you grew up in South, and then what age was you when you started doing the stand up? You're 30 now. So
started doing it when I was technically, I'd say 19. There's a place called Dulwich Hamlet Little Football Club in East Dulwich, and they used to do a comedy night on a Friday.
Yeah.
He's like a family friend. He used to work at like the Adventure Playground. This guy,
called
David. And he was like a family friend of my mum's as well. Say again?
Adventure Playground in Fairlop?
No, just like on East Dulwich.
Okay,
on Dockney Hill Road, basically. Yeah. And I remember he used to do these nights, so my mum was like, look, Mo does a bit of stand-up. Like, let me try and get him down and stuff.
Mm.
So, you know, you're a bit like... And I had this, like, the thing is, I remember when I first watched, like stand-up was when I think I watched, my sister's friend, he used to have like these Def Jams, innit?
Oh yeah.
And he used to like sell pirate DVDs basically.
But then he
had like these Def Jams, right? So I had like £10, he was like, oh, £2 each. So I was like, cool. So I could talk about five, innit? Yeah. So I was watching him, you know, like on one like episode, there'd be like three shows on any Def Jam with like four comedians with the host, including the host. I remember watching that and I went into school the next day. And I was telling everyone about all the jokes that I've seen on Def Jam. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this one guy. Everyone's laughing. Like, like, and yeah, I'm like, it's my joke. Yeah. But I'm like, no, this is what's on the DVD.
Yeah.
And I was so just fascinated because I'm hearing about things I never heard about, things like the OJ,
so how
stuff like that. So I was most probably around about 14 around 14, that time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
OJ and Rodney King.
Yeah.
There was mad references you didn't get in it.
I didn't really understand
the,
it.
Like about the Rodney King beating. You'd be like, I don't. Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, wow, that's. Because I remember hearing it or like they kind of reference it in certain films I'd watched around that time, but I didn't really understand the actual, like, even like talking about the LA riots.
Yeah.
I'd have thought that was a normal riot until you like actually like you research and you're like, wow, this was a proper riot. This wasn't a joke.
They burned that shit down.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think from that, I was just like that was my kind of,
which one of the, because I remember my mom had them DVDs.
Yeah.
And I'd watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And also my auntie used to have all the fucking pirates and she'd have the Kings of Comedy and she used to have Bruce Bruce.
Yeah.
Remember Bruce Bruce? That big, Bruce. You ever seen Bruce Bruce? He's like the big fat black American comic. He was huge. Big fat. He was like real big in America. She used to have all those DVDs and
the
Queens of Comedy. I remember watching the Kings of Comedy, Def Jam.
Mm.
And the one that obviously stuck out was the Bernie Mac set.
Yeah,
that was one of the killer ones. Chris Rock, Chris Tucker one.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I used to see them advertised on, you know, Channel U at the time.
Yeah.
They used to advertise them as like you can buy the box set.
Yeah.
So you know, like call up this number.
Yeah.
So I used to see all these jokes, and I was like, oh, I've seen that. Yeah. So the fact that I was like, oh, I can buy some of these now. Yeah.
Did you ever work with Channel U?
No, I never worked.
You never done Channel U?
No. That was kind of like round about the time I'd say I kind of started comedy.
Oh, okay.
It was when Channel U was at its...
Because they had a bit of comedy, not stand-up on it, but they had comedy presenters. I remember they had that one guy.
Jazzy was on Jazzy. There as well.
What
happened
to that? Is he still around?
No, we're still with like mates. Yeah,
he's still around,
yeah.
He's
still around,
man. For time,
he's still around. And I think that's the thing. It was like, when I first started doing it, I was only like 19, so I was doing it at these little like small little comedy local clubs. Then I'd try somewhere over here and... I think the funniest thing is I didn't really have a name. Like I had, because I was like, because my full name's Messiah. So I was like, how do I introduce that as a comedian?
If you're going to go as Messiah, you better be conscious.
Yeah, like...
you better come with like a star.
It sounds like a poet or something, innit?
Yeah, real talk.
So guys, we got some poetry from
Messiah. Do you remember like back in that uni times, there would be that one brother who done poetry and he'd wear beads. Like rosemary's and you would wear a shirt.
Like a wooden African.
Yeah. That's the Messiah. Yeah, you got to do the poetry. So you went with Mo the Comedian.
So what happened is I didn't really have so I thought I can't call my, like, and the thing is I was like 19, so I was trying to be cool. So I'm like, can't let people know my real name, my government name.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was still on that kind of mindset. So then I was like, okay, so I remember doing this show and then it's like a little small comedy show. And I actually asked like, can I do like some comedy? I was like, yeah, cool, man, put you on and stuff. And they was like, so what's your name? So I was like, Mo. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then what happened, the guy who introduced me was like, so we got some comedy now from a guy coming up. So when he comes, show him some love, guys, make some noise for Mo the Comedian.
Uh-huh.
And I was stuck. Like, and then people just started calling me, like they see me at a show, he's like, oh, you're Mo that comedian guy, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah. So the name Mo wasn't sticking. They was like, Mo, you're that... Yeah. You're the guy Mo the Comedian, innit?
Do you still go by Mo the Comedian?
It's more like...
Are you trying to bring in Mo Gilligan now?
Do you know what it is, though? It's like...
on
it's
the
like, the like... Because I started on like things like Sunday Show.
Mm.
That's what I used to use as my name and
stuff. Everyone had those names, though. You had like Ola the Comedian.
Ola the Comedian.
I remember there was one guy called Samuel the Joker. Joker. You remember Samuel the Joker? He used to be around.
Yeah,
you have Slim.
Yeah.
Like everyone, they did like, there was, and I really did.
Some people used to call Slim the Comedian. They used to call him
Slim the Comedian.
Because
a little part of that probably did come from the black American circuit where there'd be dudes called like, you know, Johnson, Big Pig Feet, and.
And then you had names, you had Bruce people like Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Do you know what I mean?
And you had Hamburger.
Yeah. Hamburger.
Alfonso Hamburger and shit. So you Mo the Comedian. That's where you got the name from.
The name kind of stuck, and then I just started to use, everyone started knowing me as that name.
Mm.
And then it was actually weirdly like when I actually met when I met Polly.
Yeah.
I remember we was doing this.
Who's your manager?
Yeah. So when I met Polly, there was doing this show, right, called Yard Party. So he had a bunch of comics, and I think they was gonna try, and it was only for a pilot, with Print Sense Productions.
Yeah.
And they was gonna put this show out as like a pilot and hopefully get it on BBC Three.
Mm. What was the concept of the show?
Just like having like bunch of comics as performing.
I'll get you.
It's almost like a Live at the Apollo, but a London version of such.
Okay. And they had the music act as well.
Yeah, I done it, Ori Styler, Baba Tunde, I think Miss London, Eddie Caddy.
Okay.
They filmed it in Guanabara. Guanabara, you know, that kind of circled shaped place just off of Covent Garden.
Yes.
So like they literally had a proper set there. People came down, and you know, she was like, okay, cool. So what kind of set are you gonna do? This is before she was even my manager. And she was like, oh, we've seen your stuff, really like it, we'd like to get on the show. So I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, but your name, like, do you like the name Mo? And she's like, what's your name? And I was like, well, everyone knows your name is Mo. She's like, what's your surname? Gilligan. And she's like, why didn't you use that name? And I was like, I don't know. Like, and she's like, you should use the name. Like, there's nothing wrong with your name. Like, it's Mo Gilligan, isn't it? It just, it's like a name that's a boom, boom. It's got that. So, and then from that, it kind of like, I had this notion, I thought, rah, like, if I ever do Live at the Apollo one day, I need to have my name in it.
You don't go Mo the Comedian.
Yeah. Because online there were some people who was like, oh, Mo the Comedian, Mo, like, I'd get like a couple of people on like YouTube that would like try like this the thing. So then, yeah, it just became a thing of just to like start using my name.
And you've done Live Apollo.
Yeah.
How did that
comes
feel?
It comes out November.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
How did it, I remember when I did my first one and it was like, I'd done 7 grown man shits.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, it's a weird experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that thing of like, I remember watching, I don't know if you had the same experience, but I remember watching it back in the day when I was young, coming up in comedy. And the idea of doing that show wasn't even a dream of mine because it just didn't seem like, you know what I'm saying? Because I had other dreams in comedy because of just the opportunities that were given.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because there was no one like, you know, us doing it just didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? It just there was a certain trend of what was on Live at the Apollo. Because also because what the comedians were around at the time, or for whatever reason it was. Jamal, did you always want to do Live at the Apollo?
Do you know the thing is, I remember watching it, and sometimes as a comic, you'd watch someone, you'd be like, I'm better than that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your ego almost. I'm better than my guy. I can be on that. And I think for me, it was like, I remember I really wanted to be on it last year. And I was like, oh, I really want to do it. Like, and then, you know, you don't get the call or the email or such. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And you pushed for it as well last year.
Sorry?
Did you go for the push last year?
No, not really,
you
know.
Didn't really push
Yeah. You just kind of hope that you might get the email.
Oh, you wanted to get the call.
Yeah.
No, I get you. Okay.
And it didn't happen. And I never really, I wasn't ever looking for it as such. But the fact that I've got to do it was always, you know, it's always one of them things that everyone says, oh, you should be on Live at the Apollo one day. Like, so it's like that kind of holy grail as a comic, especially in the UK, that you want to be on.
Oh, mate.
Do you know what I mean? You want to announce yourself and stuff as such, you know, because like the first time I ever got to do comedy on TV was when I done Russell Howard's Hour.
So when
I done that, that was like my introduction.
Yeah, good set too.
Oh, thank you, man. Cheers. And I think the thing is with doing it is like, you know, obviously, like, a lot of my audience had only ever watched my stuff online, like, doing the Instagram videos and the characters. So a lot of them didn't know I could even do stand-up.
Yeah, was it hard to then, because you'd done, like, you know, so you had, like, a couple of cans and all of that stuff blew up and you had the sort of, you know, the different MCs,
which was
my favourite ones. I think that shit's fucking hilarious.
Oh, big ups, man.
I love that. With the different MC types. So how did that, is it hard to go for?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
to do that. So that's how you got your fan base, and that's how you get all your followers, and that's how you can. Is it hard for them to sell them the product to stand up?
I think, do you know what it is? When I said to myself, I was like, this can only go so far. So doing the characters is fun, and I even to this day, I just like doing it. It's a lot of fun. I just like to. I try ideas out. Like if they work, they work. People like it, they like it and stuff. But there was a point where when I was doing a lot of that stuff last year, and I was like I need to do something with this. Am I going to have an online series? Well, no, because I was just like, I could do an online series with a geezer, but it's going to be funny for this time. Will it be funny in 3 years' time? I don't know.
It's finite.
Do you know what I mean? And not to say like that stuff isn't funny. There's still people that like it. But if I'd done an online series, because it's happening now and it's like, oh, that's the funny thing. You got to do the online series.
Yeah.
Everyone was telling me, bruv, you got to do an online series with a geezer, put it on YouTube. You get tons of hits. You go viral and all this stuff. You know, a bit like that RS as such.
Yeah.
Where, like, you got to do what RS done, do like a mini doc. And I was literally like sitting there and I wrote something and I said, yeah, this is it. And I said, hold on a sec. Nah, man, I'm a stand-up comedian. This is my thing. Like, I've done, like, you know when people say you've done your 10,000 hours? I'd done that before I'd done the videos.
Yeah.
So I was like...
So your dream was always to do the stand-up stuff?
Yeah, massively, man. Because I was like, I'm just wasting my time by doing something where it's like sometimes everyone's telling you, bruv, you gotta go this way. This is the way to go. We're all going this way.
Before you broke,
yeah.
How many sets were you doing a week, or how often was you gigging?
I was gigging quite all right.
You were gigging quite all right.
Like,
still,
I might like do the odd Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if it was like, I'd always like be doing like, even if it's like the Angels and
the top secrets and stuff.
Do you know what I mean?
So you were consistent gigging.
Yeah.
You're coming up. Then the videos break.
Yeah.
When
them
videos broke in a big way.
Oh, yeah. No,
that was crazy.
Man.
Do you know what I'm saying? I remember when they broke, and I remember it was like, I remember motherfuckers from my school were like, yo, you've seen this Molder comedian guy. I'm like, yeah, no, what do you mean? What's Mo doing, fam?
Yeah.
Is Mo fucked up online or some shit? What happened? I'm like, he's on Wellstar and shit. And I looked and it was like, and he's doing that couple of cans shit.
Okay.
And that's when I first saw was a couple of cans.
Yeah.
And then
doing
the videos of the road, and then it kind of just progressed and progressed. And then obviously, you know, you've done well. Amazingly, actually, you know, that's a weird thing where you try and compliment another dude. You go, well, you done good, you done well, man. You done amazing. He's translating it, which is hard.
Nah, massively.
I would think, you know, it's that thing of like you're saying, because it's like, how long can that thing last?
I think, do you know what it is? When I was doing a lot of that stuff and I was doing the characters and all that stuff, I was like, bro, let me, like, even a lot of that material, I was like, when I started writing it, I started like, why am I writing all this new material? Like I was literally writing so much new stuff for this tour. And then I was like, hold on, I already have this material, innit?
Yeah.
And I just kind of have to just move it around in a different place.
Yeah.
So then, like, it was weird because, like, how I used to write, I'd always write in bullet points. That's a little joke. Try that. Because I was always kind of writing for 20 minutes. So when I started looking at the tour, I remember getting these cue cards and I'd write down, da-da-da-da-da. That bit, and I kind of place them in order, and then sometimes I move them around.
So you handwrite
your
shit.
They can flow. Yeah.
And you don't, but you don't write the whole thing verbatim.
No. I just kind of write the bullet point.
And you riff on stage. You riff out a bit.
Yeah, I have to riff on stage because I get my best stuff when I riff.
Yeah.
I got the idea, but it's just putting it in practice. But and I think when we started doing the tour, once I wrote a lot of the material and it was done, and I was like, yeah, this is me.
How many tour dates you done now?
I don't even know, you know, bro.
Because you sold out Leicester Square.
Yeah.
Like,
we've done a lot.
Thousand dates in Leicester. Yeah, like 1,000 dates. The whole year, they changed the theatre to Mo Gilligan Theatre.
Yeah, we had a lot of dates, man. I think the weirdest thing was because when we put the dates on, you know, originally I think we had 3 dates. They sold out straight away. So it was like,
yeah,
we just added more dates. We was like, we had another 3 dates.
Yeah.
Then they sold out.
Yeah.
And all this happened with all in 24 hours.
And did the audience know they're coming to stand-up show?
Yeah.
They did know that.
Because we already done the first one.
Yeah.
So I think what happened is people came and then it was like, well, this guy's actually kind of funny.
Because I had people come to my show thinking it was going to be a Q&A.
Oh, okay.
I had people come to my show thinking like, it was good, but I thought it would be like more, like, I was like, did you think you were coming to a TED Talk?
Yeah.
People, because when they see something and then they come, they think they're going to see the live version of that, not just some stand-up.
Yeah.
But yes,
well, yeah, that's the thing though. I think the hardest thing is like, it is translating it, because I've had some people come to the show and was like, oh, I thought I was going to see that character or this character, or why didn't you bring the wigs and stuff? And I was like, I just fuck around that stuff in my house. Do you know what I mean? This isn't stuff I'm going to bring to a live show. So I remember this, we had done a tour show last week, and this woman gave me like this big, like, you know, review of the show, and she's like, I really liked it. You know, I thought the middle was a bit mainstream, but you brought it back again in the end. And I was like, I don't really know what that means, but
mainstream.
You know, like, she liked the show.
Yeah. But she had to give some criticism.
And then every part of me wants to sit there and explain myself to this person and say, nah, but the reason why I've done that. And I was like, I don't even need to do that.
Did everyone laugh?
That's the thing. They laugh.
And
you
it's
putting
the one person. You know,
but you know, it's like sometimes yourself, you want to just explain it and say.
It's that weird thing, isn't it, that we do is we care about the. And it's, I think it's instinctual because it's like, you know, being on stage, everyone's laughing. Mm-hmm. You look in the crowd, the one person that's not laughing is the person you focus on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think it's the same with a reviewer is, you know, I've got reviews for shows and I've read the review and I'm pissed off and I'm like, oh. And I'm like, wait a second, it's the one who didn't buy a ticket. Person who didn't buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm worrying about that guy's opinion as opposed to the all the other people who have paid good money
sometimes
that they've worked hard
weird.
For,
like,
you know?
You know, sometimes I always look at it where sometimes I do the show and I've seen people walk out and I'm like, are they going? They don't like it? Or maybe they're going home early. I don't know. I don't really know what's happening.
Well, it's instinctual as a comedian.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess, yeah.
And I remember seeing this guy actually said to me last week, when we done the Liverpool show, and he was like, he goes, I really liked it. My girlfriend didn't find anything funny and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, thanks for telling me that.
Yeah.
It's that weird thing of like, why are you telling me?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes you hear them things and you think, well, subjective, innit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know people who prefer my videos and then the stand-up.
What?
And vice versa. Do you know what I mean? There's some
people
prefer
the sound in the videos.
Yeah, there's some people who say, oh man, your stand-up is great. Video's all right, but the stand-up is really good. Or your videos. Love the videos. And the thing with the videos, I'm like, if you like the videos, it's cool because it's free, innit?
Did you record the at the South Theatre, the Clapham Theatre? Did you record
the
hour?
We recorded the
hour. You released that?
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan. We've edited it now. And
it's all done?
Done. You know, you've got the offline edits and all that kind of stuff. So it's all done now, really.
Nice.
So, I'm in a weird position where I'm not in this rush to be like, oh, we've got to, like, put it out there and get it on DVD and stuff and whatnot. Because if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Because I think for myself, it's like, for every part of me that doesn't put this out, I get to keep doing this material a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You have to burn that.
Yeah, that's it, man. Once you do it.
And that turnover is
that's it, man. But at the same time, it's like you got to give up something to get to the next stage.
This is something I want to ask you as well. Is have you popped down to a comedy night, like, in terms since the videos broke? Have you sort of popped down to a club where they didn't know you were going to be on, like a surprise spot?
I've done like Top Secrets.
What's the reaction when you walk on?
It's weird because it's never this like, oh my God. And sometimes it's like there's some people because some people don't recognize me. Uh-huh. From the videos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So some people are like, shit, that's fucking Mo. Oh,
yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
But
and they do the whole and it starts the murmurs start.
Like I remember going down to Top Secret just doing some new stuff recently. And even then, like, I weren't really too sure because I'm just like, did these guys know who I am? Do they not? Because I'm very oblivious to that stuff. I don't really I do prefer going to a night comedy night and you don't know who I am as opposed to, oh, you've seen your stuff.
Well, it doesn't help the material.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
It's better because then you're starting on a fresh
slate.
Especially
when I'm trying new stuff as well.
Yeah, and it's that,
you know?
I've seen people taking photos of you.
Yeah, sometimes afterwards, it's normally afterwards where you do a gig and someone says, oh, yeah, man, like I watch your stuff and stuff. I went to your tour show, et cetera. But I always try and keep every crowd that I do that they've never met me before, I've never seen it, as opposed to, oh, guys, you know who I am. And having the arrogance of, like, telling any joke and thinking that it's funny because they know who you are.
Yeah, and it takes, I think it's also, it having ego can take away from the sort of performance. Because, like, so obviously you've seen this. And then fuck off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's that sort of assumption of fame, I guess, would be.
Sometimes you get
term.
Audiences that kind of just, like, I've been to like big comedy shows and people are just, I'm like, it's not really that funny though, is it? And that's because sometimes it's the superstardom of who the person is as well.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is so funny.
It's excitement.
It's so funny.
Because sometimes they're just happy to be in the presence of that person as opposed to actually what they're saying.
I think when I seen Chappelle at, I seen Chappelle when he done Up the Creek.
How was it?
It was a little bit like that.
Really?
Because
he is amazing.
He is dope. But there were a lot of people who were just proper fanboys at the same time.
Yeah, they wanted to be in the presence of him as opposed to actually what he said.
Yeah.
But I feel like Chappelle was like, sometimes I talk to people and they go, oh, I love Chappelle. And this is about dudes I grew up with. And they'll be like, yeah. And I talk to them about it. And I go, the things you're saying aren't anything he's done. Like, because Chappelle's actually a very, it's very great joke writing. It's very methodical and it's very like layered and structured and all this stuff. And the way you're, and the stuff you're talking about, it's like, I don't think you actually, you just like the idea of what he is, you know?
Yeah.
Or you like the Chappelle show.
Oh, wicked, man.
Which is the fucking
best show.
I remember
my mate introduced me to that and it hadn't even come out in the UK yet.
It was on
he went
YouTube.
To the States.
Yeah.
He went to the States and brought back the DVD of Series 1. Yeah. And he showed it to me, and I was like,
"That Rick James sketch is still one of the best sketches of all time."
Do you know
time.
The man? His thing is, I remember being, I remember we watched it. We was, we maybe it was like 16, 17, and we was watching it, and I was like, I knew who Rick James was, but until you get a bit older, you really understand the importance of that sketch, and but, how like
because the thing is, I didn't really know who Rick was.
It's only
when he done when they brought him.
Yeah.
And it's just to see him and to link that to the character where Rick James is I don't do no drugs. Cocaine's one hell of a drug. Like, that bit. And it explains what the fuck the dude is. It's
because you know that sometimes it was so funny. I was like, is this real? Is this a real thing?
He kicked him in the chest.
And he's like, what did Five Fingers say to the face? Unity. Like so many quotables. And that was the time I remember going to HMV. I bought it on when it came out, I then bought it on DVD. I got Series 1 and Series 2, and they're like the two DVDs. I will never borrow that to you.
Because it's
different when you watch it to like on YouTube now. Because it's not the same as the show.
No.
Like there's something watching that show on DVD now.
What was it about watching on DVD?
It's just that it gives you that like there's like I could watch it now and it's that whole like even the intro Chappelle show like you sit there and you're like, shit, here we go. And there were so many small bits right that people forget, like the bit where he had the girl singing stuff that he couldn't say.
He
was like say this and stuff, which for me was like this is like throwaway stuff.
And there was some stuff that was fucking edgy. I mean, there was one sketch that I remember, and it's like you couldn't get away with it now. And it's just because of the time and that. It was one where he's with this girl, he's with this woman, he's about to have sex. He goes, wait one second. And he makes her write a consent form.
And he goes,
and tick this for anal. All right. All the stuff that she's willing to do. And you couldn't do that shit now. And I remember watching that being like, God, that is fucking hilarious.
We won't realise how good that stuff is until the next couple of years, though. It's like recently I've been watching like old like Addy G's. And I watched some of that stuff and I'm like, rah, you got to say that stuff. And watching it now, it's not so much that we live in a different time, but even like the comedy was a little bit different because he was like the first guy to do stuff like that. Just interviewing. He's like, the interview with Donald Trump before he was president and stuff. And he's pretending to be in character and just being silly. And,
Donald Trump didn't fall for it either, which is really weird.
He was like, let's wrap this up. Massively. I think watching a lot of that stuff, like it definitely inspired me as a generation because I used to sit there watching that stuff like, wow, this is so different, man. Like even things like South Park, having a cartoon and these people are swearing. And I'm like, wow, they're swearing. And then when you watch it now, how South Park has evolved and like now they're like really smart in terms of like
some of the best satire.
So I think massively in terms of, I think I'm quite lucky to grow up in that generation where, you know, some things where you sit there and you watch it and you think, wow, like people's allowed to do that back then or how funny some things were. Because I think now, you know, it's a lot more limited. Do you know what I mean?
In what way?
Just that I think you like you would never have like any character just having a sketch show or like a TV show like he did on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's not money in that kind of stuff like there was back
then.
No,
for real. And I guess what I mean? Because, you know, having meetings and you yourself, you know, having meetings as well, you realise that you can't... To try and pitch something like that is just like people, it's like, we ain't making none of that.
And that's why I think there's this beauty with online now, really, where you can find your own audience. And then before you know it, you can create something that TV will then say, okay, we want that now. We want that and put it on TV. Can you do that for us?
Jamal. How are you enjoying the transition from internet to TV now?
Yeah, TV's fun. I think the thing is with TV, I understand I'm quite new in this TV world. And I'm not like in this kind of world being like, oh, you know who I am, you see my other stuff online, because I'm trying to, like I say, I'm trying to, but there's this new audience that people are watching me at. So whether I'm on the Big Nasty show or I'm on a small panel show, I'm introducing myself to a new audience.
How was the Big Nasty show?
Good, man. A lot of fun.
It's a fun show.
No, it's a lot of fun to be my involved in the show.
My favourite bit is when Giggs is telling David Schwimmer that he used to watch him in prison.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I used to watch you in jail, bruv. Yeah, and David Schwimmer's just like, well, bro, thank you. And it's just such a moment. Where he's
it was, man.
And it was real.
Because you could
tell Giggs used to watch him in prison. Yeah, yeah. And he was just like, yeah, man, do you know what? I can't even lie, you know, I'm gassed because I used to watch you in jail. And you see David's nodding his head
honestly,
going, oh,
like, to have like David Schwimmer and Giggs on the show was, for me, it was like a proper moment because I know sitting there, I was like, whether you like our show or not, you're not going to see this on any other show.
No, you won't see it.
To be part of it felt quite like a, I'm kind of part of something right now, you know.
That's big Nasty to work with.
He's so funny, man. He's like, he's himself. Yeah. Like, and to get, you know, if this is my first job on TV and to work with someone like him, and you know, what you see on TV, us taking the piss out of each other, is real. We just take the piss out of each other.
Mm.
We don't do it for TV.
Mm.
A lot of that stuff is literally us just going, and then some of it that gets cut because they're like, well, can't put that on TV. Mm. But
because he's one of those dudes that it's just him. I remember I bought his Grime DVD back in the day. I'm better.
Oh yeah.
And this is, I used to buy it from Dark and Cold. I used to buy the Grime DVD.
I remember
buying his one. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And he says, there's this one bit where he says something that's like, he's doing this interview and he goes like, you know, I just keep it real. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if my food's in the oven, I'm making a bowl of cereal because I'm hungry. And it was just like that. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just that. He's just a big fat dude. You don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, he's just a cool guy. And I think that's the thing with a TV show is like, you know, the fact that we're on Channel 4, and, you know, there's some people that have watched it, like, who've been in TV for a long time, and said, oh, it reminds me of, like, things like The Word from back in the day and stuff, which I didn't really, I know the program, I don't think I really watched it. But the fact that you've got people that would say, oh, they could compare it to that, you think, oh, cool, man. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
appreciate that
sound
a lot. So, it's massive. Like, to do this, it's a lot of fun to do, man.
And can we talk about the other thing you got going on?
We
can talk about the new thing, yeah?
Yeah, so that will come out next year.
And what is it?
So 2019. So this is the thing, it's like we're still in this process where we're still creating it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So
have you filmed it all yet? Have you wrapped it?
No.
You ain't wrapped, you're still in production.
Not even been made.
Oh, it's not been made yet.
Not even been made, yeah. We're still kinda in that kind of like pre-production stage of writing what it's gonna be and stuff.
I get you. So what was the show that got what's the premise of the show that got commissioned then? Or did you just get a show commissioned then you're building the show?
Yeah, so we'll start building the show. So when we done the first pilot, the cool thing when we done the pilot, there was elements of sketch. So there's some of the characters in there. We had some live guests in there. We had some game shows in there. It was like a nice studio audience. Mm. So we tried to give it that feel, like a Friday night type of feel. Mm. So I think we actually filmed, you know, Peckham Levels.
Yeah.
Peckham Levels.
Is that where is that where right outside the station?
Right outside
the
station.
And they got like the raves. They put a match in.
Oh no, that might be Bussy.
I was like, Bussy. What's Peckham Levels?
Yeah, so Peckham Levels is where the cinema is, just at the side. So what it is, it used to be a car park and they've turned it into like spaces. So on the first floor is offices.
Uh-huh.
They literally, you go in there, you're like, well, this is an office. Like, and it used to be a car park. So they've turned that, like, they've made offices in there. Then I think the third floor, they've got like restaurants, bars and stuff like that. They've even got like shops in there that sell clothes and stuff. And then on the other floor, the rooftop is like a rooftop bar. It's only open summertime. So you know Frank's Caf.
Yeah.
So that's where they have Frank's Caf. Then just below, they have like an empty space. They never use it for anything. So they might do shoots in there, fashion shows. So we done the pilot there. And for me, it was just like, let me try it somewhere that's not a studio to see how it can look. We get, you know, we've got the skyline of London. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Give it that different feel.
It kind of looks a bit rustic, you know. I was massively happy with it, you know, especially being the pilot. But then, you know, with Channel 4, they want to give me enough time to make it perfect, which I really appreciate because, you know, they haven't just said, just do it, put it out there.
They want to make it the face.
Yeah. And then what happened is when was it last year? You know, Channel 4 said to me, look, like, you know, we'd love for you to be part of this channel. And, you know, would you want to be interested in creating something with us, like a TV show and stuff? So I was like, yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean creating? He's like, yeah, like maybe on like a Friday night, you know? I was like, oh shit. Like, I was literally like, wow. I remember like that day afterwards, I didn't know what to do. I remember just walking around West End, bro. I was walking around, going into shops, coming out. And I was like, bro, I'm going to get a TV show.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
That's a big moment.
And they even said in the same meeting, it's like, we've also got this project with Big Nasty. Would you want to be part of that as well?
Mm.
You know? And I was like, okay, cool. Like, find out what it is with the program and stuff. And then, you know, we had a few meetings with expectation of people that make it and stuff. And yeah, I was like, yeah, man, I wouldn't be up, you know, as long as I can. It was the kind of thing is that they kind of just basically said, like, I want you to be you.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I was like, never really had a meeting like that before where someone just said, look, just be you. You know, don't be this hyped up presenter and stuff. We want you to be you. We want Nasty to be Nasty. So I was like, yeah, man, I want to be part of this project. It sounds quite fun, you know. And then we got the dates to film it, which was summertime. And it was weird because we was in that kind of phase of like people watching like Love Island and, you know, the football was on, everyone's buzzing. Then we was on at like 11 o'clock on a Friday. So it became that thing of people who don't really watch TV
would log in for
Log in and just watch it just for us.
People loved it, man.
You know what I mean? Or all four.
People
so,
loved it.
You know, and it was quite weird. You know, sometimes I read like some of the negative stuff. People say, oh, it seems like the program's not really like some people say it looks unorganized, but that was part of the program.
And it's like,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's just that weird thing of just like, you know, it's like it, that you're trying to, you were trying to create chaos and you had chaos, because I saw it and it was like, it was chaotic.
Oh, it was mad.
But it's enclosed chaos. Yeah. And you can see that there was some, method to it.
Nah, the funniest thing is we record for 3 hours, isn't it? So people are only seeing 45 minutes of it. But people used to like, you know, we got 600
people. How many
Zeus
with Big Nasty Smoke?
Do you know what the funniest thing is?
How many zoo breaks would he have?
He would just like, it was more because, you know, like when you, when
it seems like a dude would float off. He just like, he just off.
Yeah, in the beginning, he does his own thing. He's just like, so we're trying to do rehearsals. Okay, if you guys over here, then you're going to walk left and go over there. He'd just be like, oh, fuck this stuff, man. I remember him saying to me once, he goes, bro, you really like doing this TV stuff, innit? Like, Why are you? Because I was like the person, I was like, okay, cool, let's read that. And he was like, but why are you being that good guy in class?
That
like,
good guy.
Do you know what I mean? Like, well, I was just like,
it's good you teach us better than that. No way. Like, my man like, would say, why are you being that good guy in class? Nasty, we are on a job, sir. We're not in class, we're
on
a job.
You know what the funniest thing is? Like, there were so many moments where, like, I remember when we had that episode of David Schwimmer, actually. And, you know, Nasty's, that he'd always get on to me about my jeans being tight and stuff like that. So we had to do this thing where we had to like describe words. Like, cause we literally read what people would tweet. One guy said, oh, I don't understand what these guys are saying, but I'm enjoying it. So he was like, let's use a load of slang words we use and describe them in a sentence. So I was like, so when we'd done the rehearsal, like, this was like, cause we would always film on a Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, I was like, so what we're going to do, Nasty, we're going to film. And then I'm gonna describe words, and then you just got us how would you say them in a sentence? He was like, yeah, cool. No, don't worry, I got it, man. We'll do it on the day. So I was like, oh yeah, all right, cool. So you know, we're recording. There's like 600 people there in the audience, innit? So I was like, so Nasty, you know, some people been watching. I'm reading on also cute. So I'm like, some people been watching the show and you don't understand some of the words. So let's use some words, and you're gonna say the words. Yeah, cool. So I'm like, so Nasty, how would you use the word raw in a sentence? And he goes, raw, your jeans are mad tight. And I was like, okay. Well, you didn't plan this. I don't know why you did this right now. And then he was just saying words like, I was like, guest, how would you use guest? Nah, your jeans are overly tight. They're so guest. And I was like, okay.
Just
like,
your jeans, man.
Yeah.
He ain't feeling them skinny jeans.
Do you know the funniest thing is, because I do some work with like Felt and Young Offenders. So I was in there the other day. And
What type of work you do for them?
Just like going in, talking to the young guys. Do you know what I mean? We don't do like stuff on like, so guys, how can we get you guys back on the right track?
Because I
don't really believe in, don't think that works. Do you know what I mean? So I just go in and just talk to them, and they can ask me questions and stuff like that. And you know, these are like young guys as well, innit? And it was like, no, Mo, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I like the Nasty show, but that one when he got into your jeans, bear man was laughing in their cell, bro. But there's some cool guys. I think the funniest thing is when I'm in there, everyone's just like, Mo, when you do the next series of Nasty Show, yeah? Big up J Wing, yeah? And I'm like, I can't do that because, you know, Channel 4 might lock it off. He's like, no, don't worry. Like, just big up J Wing. And you got other guys, bruv, J Wing shit, bruv. Big up fucking H Wing, bruv. And I'm like, guys, I can't. Can't do this, man.
That happened to me when I was in America. I was filming in this jail in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And one guy recognized me. He goes, hey, you live on Vice? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And he called back, well, say free worm. So on my show, I was like, shout out worms. So now people message me saying free worm. underneath
yeah,
it. And they wanted to make free worm t-shirts. And they go, but you better put money on these commissary. But that weird thing, isn't it? Watching people watching you from jail.
Yeah, no.
And part of it's like, that's not punishment. Why do you have that?
I think it was like, with those young guys, it's like, yeah, they're locked up. They're in there for something that, you know, which is wrong.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't always sugarcoat it and say, oh man, you know, some of them made the wrong decisions. 100%. Some of them, you know, but I think like meeting those guys. Mm. And I remember when I walked in, because they was in their class basically, innit? Walked in, one of the guys in the class was like, "No, you look probably look like that mole guy from the Big Nasty Show." And then all of the guys are laughing. He's like, "Bro, that's him, bro." And he was like, I didn't want to laugh too hard because he's like, "Bro, laugh, you look, don't laugh at me, don't laugh." But nah, man, there's some proper, like, really cool young guys there, man. But I think what I really appreciate is like, meeting those guys, watching the show, they're giving me the most realest feedback.
Yeah.
They're not someone I met on the street who's like, "Yeah, I really like it." They're just like, "Bro, I really liked it. It was a good show, man. It was really funny and stuff."
Yeah. I mean, as well as, you know, it's good that you do that type of stuff. I have this argument with people sometimes and they sort of talk about prisons because, you know, grow up, I never went to prison, but a lot of my brethren went to prison.
Mm.
And they always argue with this fact of that prisons are too nice. And I go, "But yeah, prisons in India are fucked. And motherfuckers are still going in and out of that bitch."
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you got, and it's like, "Oh, why are they sending people down?" It's like, because they're human beings.
Mm.
And they deserve to have some type of, you know, idea. And they're kids. Kids, man. Like, what, they're 14, 15-year-old kids. Mm. And it's, I think it's good that you go in there and you actually, you know, take time out to speak to them, man.
Yeah, no, man. Some really cool young guys, man. Just talking to them. And it's just like, even when I'm in there, I'm like, "Look, I'm not here to be one of these people that come in and do the whole, 'So guys, what's going on? So rapping, oh my God, who's going to do some rap?'" It's just like, "Nah, man, that's corny, man." Do you know what I mean? Because you get people that go in there and will do it for like their self. Do you know what I mean? But for me, it's just like, "No, I got some free time."
I think it's kind of like the Corbyn effect. Because I remember I had dudes in my ends that voted for Corbyn. They didn't even know his policies, but they voted for Corbyn.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that because I think there was one thing that Corbyn did, which I really respected, is when he interviewed with JME.
Yeah.
And he didn't go there with the shit. He told him like a normal fucking human.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, and there's not, and there's not, and there's not a lot, there's not enough of that.
Yeah.
You know, there always seems to be a sort of, a laughing. I remember coming up, man, the one thing I fucking hate is middle class white people doing the rap in their comedy set.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm rapping because it's, you know, they were doing it because they were taking the piss out of it. Yeah. Yes, bloods,
so
no bloods.
"My name is Luke and I'm from Suffolk. You don't know me and I'm, pluck them."
And it was fucking always pissed me off, man. But man, that's great that you got the show coming out, man. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Nah, thanks a lot, man. As I said, yeah, come down, man. Just come check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to come down to the tour show. When do you wrap up the tour?
No, the last week is next week. But you said you're going away next week, right?
Yeah.
But you know, we're doing, by the time this comes out, it'll be up. We're doing a Christmas special, basically.
I'm off for the whole December.
Yeah.
I'm going to come down to that.
December, we're doing a Christmas special.
Buy tickets and I'm going to come down to that.
Yeah, all the proceeds go to charity.
And where's that? Because this will come out before then.
This was, I think it's on the 13th of December.
Yeah. And you can get tickets?
Tickets will be on Live Nation.
Tickets will be on Live Nation. Yeah. So make sure and go give some money to charity, you fucks.
Yeah, come down, man. So it's a Christmas special. It's the last one. So we're using free charities. So we're just kind of spreading out.
Great.
Spreading out the money. So we're doing it.
Making fight for the money.
No, do you know what it is? There was like so many charities, but like, I didn't want to single out because they're like charities I worked with before.
Yeah.
So there's like Crisis, because I remember going down doing some work with them a few years ago. And then there's Bricks and Soup Kitchen.
Mm.
So like they're almost, for me, they're kind of like a local charity. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I remember going down there working with them guys. And then, the ACLT as well. You know, I remember doing tons of comedy shows where the ACLT will put on like, you know, Black History shows and stuff like that. So
great, man.
It was like free, you know what I mean, charities that I've kind of worked with.
You got to do stuff. And especially, I think that's one good thing about the job of stand-up is you can do a lot for charities.
Yeah,
you can
no,
do charity
massively,
gigs,
man.
Charity gigs, man. I mean, that's things I try to take time out for.
Charity
gigs. Sometimes, you know, it's hard, but, you know.
Yeah, there's some cool charities, man. Like, I've done a couple of them, like Teenage Cancer Trust.
Mm, great.
I think we've done Shelter. Me and you were doing a charity, well. You know. Say again?
Me and you had booked for a charity together. We're doing Brighton together.
Is that next year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Brighton Dome or something.
Yeah. We're doing a charity.
I think I'm doing another one coming up. I think I've got one coming up soon, you know.
Yeah.
Like next week. I think it's for London Zoo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's quite cool.
Keep animals in jail. Keep them locked up, bruv. That's one thing in Australia. Is why the fuck do they have animals in prison in Australia? They have them in the wild in Australia. Why are they in the zoo?
But some of them,
do you ever think about that?
But some of them, they're thinking that they're doing rehabilitation.
There's a kangaroo
program
in the zoo. They don't need to be in the zoo, fam. You can go 2 miles down the road and see them.
But some of them, the numbers are low. Like pandas, they're trying to bring the numbers up and stuff, innit? You know what I'm saying? But there's also some of them that can't be let back into the wild because they wouldn't adjust.
they wouldn't adjust.
Yeah. So
institutionalize
them. There's some of them that, yeah, I think it's a bit.
I think
you know what it is. It is a tricky one though, because I'm not.
No.
It's a tricky situation because there are some things in the zoo where I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah,
we don't really need this.
The only thing I don't like seeing in the zoo, because I go to the zoo. If I'm on a date, I'm going to the zoo.
Yeah,
like, my morals only go so far. But it's the gorillas. That's the only thing that I go to a zoo and I see a gorilla and I go. Phew. Like, because you're not so far down on the evolutionary step from
me.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, but then they are trying to, like, bring up the numbers, innit?
I get it. No, I mean, you know, I don't know.
For me, it's the insects. They don't need to be in zoos.
No, they can fuck off.
Like, I remember in London Zoo, they had a batch of ants just... I'm like, come on, guys, man.
Free the ants, bro.
Or they'll have, like, some mad beetle, like...
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Come on, man. There's a lot of beetles, man.
Yeah,
there's not a shortage of beetles, you know what I mean?
Like a cockroach or something. Yeah, free that
dude, man.
But no, bro, this is... I think we can wrap up here. But I just want to say, man, like, you know, thank you for coming down, number one.
No worries,
And number two, man, is I think it's amazing what you've done, bro. And I think, you know...
Big ups, man.
Appreciate it. And I didn't know all of it, just even just speaking to you, it's like you, that decision that to go back to the stand up when you could have done the web series and you could have done these things, they're hard decisions.
Yeah,
but
no,
you
wanted,
but you've done a choice which is hard in this business, is to be real to yourself.
Yeah,
and take
a massively
risk.
Man, you know, that's why I'll be honest, I was so shocked when the dates were selling out, because I was like, rah, people are coming.
Well, the risk pays off, man. I think that's one thing that you know a lot of people don't do enough in this business, including myself. I think sometimes I can be a little bit judgmental and not look at my own fucking life. But yeah, man, I think it's amazing what you're doing, man. And I remember,
smashing it, man. And then people, you're like, your Vice stuff.
Me?
Because real talk,
I'm
remember like
down,
I didn't even have Viceland. My girlfriend had it, so I was watching it. My girlfriend, they got like all the Sky digital stuff. So I remember watching it, and literally we binged watched the whole series.
Oh, that's weird. That's great.
And it was
man.
Weird because I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, not watching it like, oh, I know that guy. I was sitting there like, wow, like, he's really talking to these racist guys. Like, but you have this cool thing which is like you manage to make them, you're not there being like a, so why are you racist? You're just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, how do your children find about this? And they trust you and they let you be with, do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I think, you know, one thing I learned from that show is that it's that weird thing, and we live in a weird time politically now, and I'm not going to go to a big political rant because I'm not that intelligent, but it's like, I understand the side of saying shut that speech down. Of course, I don't agree with that speech. I think it's disgusting. But at the same time, it doesn't stop the thought. And it's not, and I don't get bogged down of what they're saying. Because, you know, all those type of things are buzzwords and they're hurtful words. But it's sensationalism. It's why they're saying it. And I think that's the most, for me, that's what's interesting.
Why
are they saying...
But there were times where it was quite trippy where I'm sitting there watching people and I'm like, what's guys? And I remember when you went to that guy's house.
Dan Burnside.
Yeah, and he's like, I was like, this guy seems like a alright guy. Like,
yeah, but then that's the conflict, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And
it's conflict.
I think that was the strange thing is watching the programme. It's like, I was sitting there, I was like, right, like, Jamali's really getting on with this guy. Like, is this... I think that was the... You know, I don't think you ever... Normally, you might see, like, a Louis Theroux do it and stuff. But Louis Theroux has a thing of, like, asking, like, so why are you racist? And you're like, you know what?
You know why
this guy's racist, innit? Like, but I think there's a really cool art of making... You've done something which was smart, of making a programme where you're not trying to be the person, like, telling him, don't be racist. Yeah. You're just like... This is your
it's
life.
Curious, why?
I'm not gonna tell you not to be, but I'm just gonna hang around and.
Well,
just,
you're very kind. I remember you sent me a message. It was a very kind message. Don't let the Illuminati bring you down.
That's
you sent me a message. I was talking to, and we sent back and forth. You went, yeah. Don't let the Illuminati bring you down, fam. I was like, you're damn right. Pagans out here. But real talk, man. Like, you know, and I remember watching you back in the day. I know everyone says this now, but I mean it, man. Like, back in the day, I always thought you were fucking funny.
Ah, big up, man.
And I always thought you always have been a cool guy as well, but you were funny, man. I remember you always had that sort of, you always knew you were going to go into great things, and it's good to see that you accomplished
man.
It now.
Yeah, big ups. Appreciate
and,
that,
You know, long career ahead of you, bro. You don't need me to tell you that. And I appreciate you coming down, brother. And
yeah,
I appreciate you. And I appreciate you,
man.
So thanks
for having
me.
It's been a fun little podcast, man.
Cool, bro. All right.
Looking forward to watching
Come
it.
Let's take
see
a photo it. So we can promote this shit. All right, peace.
Wicked.
So that was Motor Comedian. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I know I enjoyed it and I thought it was a great conversation.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say, man. This is the last one. But thank you everyone who's listened to it, man. And thank you to people at The Hook for doing this. They've been an amazing team. They've been lovely to work with. They bought me many lunches on the company card, which was amazing. But yeah, man, I've had a great time. I really enjoyed it, man. I think, when did we start doing this? June, July, we started this. And I think we actually created something really good. How many people come up to me on my tour shows and say, I love your podcast. I really like the podcast. I'm digging the podcast. When's the next one out? Bang. It's a good feeling. I'm happy I'm putting out some content for you guys that you're enjoying, you know, that isn't visual or isn't from a TV production company or isn't, you know, I'm not saying that The Hook isn't a production, you know what I mean, Jess, don't get mad at me. It, you know, and just to put something out that was kind of, you know, because we were kind of, you know, there was a kind of working out what this show should be and that type of stuff. And I think we kind of just came to an idea that it should just be a free-throwing conversation and kind of get to understand people and know people and a little bit more about them and find out what makes them tick and find out how they started and find out, you know, where they want to go and stuff like that. And I think we've accomplished that, really. And, you know, it's one of the projects that I've done recently that I'm actually very proud of, and I'm happy to be a part of it. This is the last episode of the season of The Breakdown with Jamali Maddox in association with The Hook. Introducing now, this is Cool Keith doing the outro music, and he does the intro music, and it's one of my favorite songs right now because it has my name in it. So thank you for listening.
Jamali, nah.
Jamali.
Jamali 9000 from Mars. Just land over Max with the computer. My wings expand on Earth, around the universe. The superhero just written a verse. The J on my shirt for Jamali. Never using the Molly. Walking down the galaxy, computers on my hand. Built in like I'm a man machine since I was growing up with children. Mechanical rapper putting a robot flow together. I made a steal in any weather. Disguised more than Spider-Man in a sweater. Optimus way after prime. Standing on top of the world, I gotta shine. Just like my pop's new Cadillac CT6. The patch on my eye, I be Rick. The lyrics are slick, like new now wave grease.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.